Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God to the chief musician, a psalm or song of David. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, that when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God, even Sinai was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such as one as goeth on still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem, shall kings bring presents unto thee. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of bulls, with the calves of the people, till every one submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises unto the Lord, Selah, to him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old. Lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, as a historical use, there are a couple. First of all, this song was popular among those French Calvinists, the Huguenots. You might imagine how it was, because they were, for the majority of their time, as they endured as a people together, they were a persecuted lot. And then also, this song was found upon the lips of Savonarola in 1498 in his protest against the abuses of an immoral church as he went to the flames. So it's a very interesting psalm in that the people of God have seen it as great comfort in times of affliction. The occasion of this psalm, although it's not set in the passage itself, the quotation here, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and let them also that hate him flee before him." This was first spoken by guess who? Moses in Numbers chapter 10, verse 35. After the ark of God was put into service, when the Lord would cause the cloud to move forward and they lifted up the ark on their shoulders and they followed the cloud by day and the fire by night, Moses would say when they lifted up the ark and started their march, "Rise up, O Lord," or "Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered," and so on. Because the ark was that symbol of the Lord's presence among his people. There's another time that it's used. Some have this psalm written at the occasion of David bringing the ark of God into Jerusalem after he had run the Jebusites out. Although it's not used at that time, Solomon makes use of it in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 41, where he quotes that same phrase, "Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered," when he does what? When he dedicates the temple where the ark of God comes to rest. Okay? So, this has a long history. This phraseology has a long history among God's people, and it is indeed a celebration of the Lord's presence among his people, and that when God rises up in defense of them, their enemies are scattered before them. And so this is what we want to remember as we go through Psalm 68. There are also, in the introduction to this psalm, historical references to times when the Lord did exactly that, where he rose up, scattered the enemies of God, and his people followed him. All right, so we begin then with notes of God's praiseworthiness. He is among his people, right? The ark is the visible manifestation of God in the Old Testament as he appeared to his people there. So also now Christ has come in the flesh, ever to be among men, in that he himself is a man, in that he is present in the preaching of the word. Remember what the Apostle Paul says, that when he was in Galatia preaching the word of God, it was as if Jesus Christ was crucified before their very eyes. That's how the Apostle Paul puts it. Speaking to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says that we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, whose face, by the way, we never see. So again, that face is the preaching, the manifestation of Christ to his people in the preaching of the gospel. And that is the beholding of the word of God, and one of the ways in which the Lord dwells among his people. And then in that he is present to the eyes of the faithful by faith in the Lord's Supper. And that is one of those key ways that Christ manifests his presence among his people at the table of the Lord when he promises to be there covenantally with us. Secondly, he scatters our enemies. Like smoke before wind, like wax before fire, the Lord is able to scatter his and our enemies, and that's the key, is it not, to make sure that the Lord's enemies are our enemies as well. And then he is to be known as Yah. Notice he rides upon the heavens of heavens by his name Yah. Yah is simply shorthand for Yahweh, right? It's the first two letters of the Tetragrammaton. Tetragrammaton, the four-letter name of God in the Old Testament, that special covenantal name. And once again, that name is a manifestation of His presence among His people. So notice how consistent the psalmist is here, how consistent David is. All right, notice also that there is this statement that we learn more about when the Lord teaches us to pray, when we pray, "Our Father which art in heaven." Okay, so we learn about the transcendence and the immanence of God. Those are the highfalutin theological terms. The transcendence, that God is over everything, that He is our heavenly, what? Father. So He is over everything, and yet as Father, He is intimate and immanent, dwelling among the people of God. He is our Father in heaven. Notice that He is the God Yah who is with us, and yet he rides upon the heaven of heavens. And so we learn some things about the Lord here, that He is, again, transcendent from and separate from His creation, and yet in that having created and redeemed His people, He dwells among them. The scattering of God's enemies is gladness to the righteous, is the next thing we see. The scattering of God's enemies is gladness to the righteous. And then He is tender to those who are in need. Notice it is the weakest members of that society that are said to be cared for by the Lord. The orphan, the widow, the solitary, and the bound. To all of them, the Lord is in His holy habitation. And so there is no need that is greater than those needs that the Lord cannot meet among us. Right? So it's a very comforting psalm in that sense. And then finally, in this first section, 1 through 6, He judges the rebellious. All right, so then in verses 7 through 14, we see that we have the praises of God for His mighty works in the land of promise. And once again, we're going to go back and reference the quotation from Moses, the rising up of the Lord and the scattering of His enemies. The first thing that the Lord did that Moses mentions is what? It's the it's His coming down upon Mount Sinai to give the law. You know, that's a redemptive act, isn't it? That's a covenant of grace act that God did. The giving of the law is not a covenant of works. It's not greater condemnation. Remember how the Lord begins. He begins, "I am the Lord thy God." Notice, "thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." There's grace in the midst of the giving of the law. Secondly, he says that the inheritance of God was comforted with rain. Now, this is indicative of the fact that the people of God had everything they needed in the land of promise. They lacked for nothing. Rain is simply a part for the whole. So their clothing did not wax old upon them. They ate the bread of heaven. All their spiritual wants were supplied by the teaching of Moses, their celebration of the various feasts that the Lord had called them to, the sacrifices that they brought, the Levitical priesthood that God had established. All of those things are in their midst as they wander through the wilderness, and the Lord provides for them in all of that. And so when it says that thou didst send a plenteous rain to thine inheritance, that's what that is intended to teach us. So great was His care then that kings were scattered like snow upon the mountains, so that the weakest of them participated in dividing the spoils. When God's people were in Egypt or in slavery to sin, they lay at that point among the pots, as it were. By laying among the pots, here's what you did as an ancient Near Easterner. You didn't have, you know, stainless steel pans. Every now and then, the well-to-do would have like a bronze bowl or a bronze dish or a bronze even handled dish, a pan, to heat things in. But mostly this was done with pottery because that was affordable to the people. Well, you would use that, and what happens with pottery? Well, we know what happens with pottery. It breaks. And so what do you do with it when it breaks? You throw it out the window, right? That's why we have terms in Scripture such as potsherd. You know what a potsherd is, right? That's the cracked pieces that are left of a pot that at one time was whole and now is good for nothing but to be thrown out. Right? It's already been fired. It's already been in the kiln. It can't be remade. It can't be remade. It can't be reworked in that sense. And so as you've lying among the pots, that is, as you've laid down among the broken shards of pottery that's been cast out, as you've been thought of as the refuse and off-scouring of the world, what will you be like? What does he say? Though you've lying among the pots, you will be like the sweetest and richest things of the world, like a silver dove with gold-tipped feathers. Okay? So it's picturesque language, but it is indeed wonderful language. Now, the hill of God is as the hill of Bashan. Well, this took me a while as I was looking this up this week, because not a lot of the ancient information about Bashan is available, but I finally found a couple of resources. So the land of Bashan today, how many of you have ever heard of the Golan Heights? Yeah, the Golan Heights, and some of us more than others, because when we were growing up, there was war between Israel and Syria in the 60s and 70s, and there were borders established in the Golan Heights. That's where those skirmishes took place, in the Golan Heights. So it's that place to the north and to the east of Israel proper, and it's a high place, but it is well watered. It's much like Israel. It's well watered like Jordan Valley, but it's higher in elevation. And then on the far eastern edge of the Golan Heights, there's a mountain, Mount Bashan. So the area of Bashan, remember in Psalm 22 when Christ, speaking in that psalm, says, "Many bulls have surrounded me, the strong bulls of Bashan have surrounded me." That's because that was such a wonderful place to raise cattle that it had a reputation of bringing forth the best kind of cattle. And so Mount Bashan is on the far east of that. Now, in an area like Jerusalem, in Palestine, there aren't a lot of tall mountains. There are a lot of hills. It's a well-watered, hilly kind of region. The highest peak would be Hermon, way to the north in Lebanon, and that is about 9,300 feet. That's a pretty tall mountain. Over in the eastern portion there of the Golan Heights in Syria is Mount Bashan, which is almost 6,000 feet. And for its elevation, the highest thing around there. Towers up over the Golan Heights. And so it was thought of as a tall, sturdy mountain. That's the point that the writer's making here. And so here's the point. God's hill is like the hill of Bashan, like Bashan Hill. It's high, it's strong, it's enduring, in other words. Like you would think of Bashan, don't be tempted to think of Jerusalem because it's on a lesser mountain, a lesser hill, that it's anything less worth, in other words. It's like the hill of Bashan for height. And then he goes on to say, "And all the rest of you hills that are around, why do you leap? What do you have to be happy about? What do you have to be joyful about? Because God has chosen to set his name on the hill of Zion." That's the hill that should be leaping. And the rest of the hills, you have nothing to be joyful about because God has chosen to set his name in Zion. And that's the illustration then. And so we learn from that what? The preciousness of the place where God has chosen to set his name, where God manifests himself, where he makes himself known. And so that's why it says, "We have seen thy ways, we have seen thy goings, O Lord, in the sanctuary." That's what he's saying there. All right, so there are a lot of societies and fraternities and clubs to which people belong. Loyalty runs high. Patriotism abounds. But we might well ask, what is the reason for your joy, since you are not the society, the nation, where God has chosen to place his name? Right? And when the Lord goes to war then, he goes well armed, and he does not return empty-handed. He always carries with him the spoils of war, the souls of men and women, boys and girls, for himself. He leads captivity captive. This is spoken of Christ, not only here, but by Paul's interpretation in Ephesians chapter 4, that when our Lord ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. The Lord knows how to treat his captives. They need no coercion to stay. He loads them with benefits. He feeds them with the rivers of his pleasures. So note also that he knows how to treat his enemies. God shall wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of such an one as goeth on still in his trespasses. And so note that it is a mortal blow. It is a blow to the head. And this is reminiscent of Genesis chapter 3, where we learn that the head of Satan, who is the leader of all those who rebel against the Lord, how he will be struck in the head by our Lord Jesus Christ and his atoning work. All right, so then, verse 22, the Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan my people, and again from the depths of the sea. Okay, well, that's an easy metaphor to see. From the lowest places and from the highest places, the Lord will bring, he will gather his people. So you notice how the psalm is flowing and how that sometimes the psalmist makes a double use out of one particular reference. Talked about the hill of Bashan for height. Why do you leap, little hills? Our God's hill is like the hill of Bashan. And then he says, I'll bring from Bashan and from the depths of the sea my people from afar. Then in verses 24 through the end, we hasten toward the close. God goes forth in the ordinances of worship. Notice they have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. How would they see the Lord going forth in that day, in David's day? Well, it is indeed by being reminded, by the preaching of the word, the great reminders of what God has done and what he has said he will do in times to come, where soon, I don't know how soon, but soon, the knowledge of God will cover the earth like the waters cover the face of the deep. That's the promise of the gospel. We know that. We know that that's coming. We don't know when, but we know it's coming. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. And then notice that we have all of these things that the folks did there under the command of Christ that were participatory with the worship and celebration, even civil celebration of the Old Testament. And so these things are to be rejoiced in. Then we have the mention of the four tribes. We have Benjamin, Judah, Zebulun, and Naphtali. These ordinances are successful in all types of God's people. In the smallest, Benjamin. In the least notable, Zebulun. In those who strive, Naphtali. And in those who are set to give judgment, Judah. You see how there's a diverse kind of people within the people of God, and yet these things are for all of us, even in our diversity. But not just there. Notice then in the land of promise, but the gospel goes forth to all nations from every tribe and tongue, and so Egypt and Ethiopia will also come, and they will subscribe themselves under the name of God. Well, how would you respond after hearing such wondrous things as that? That's how the psalmist closes, verse 32. Sing unto God, O ye kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. And so to extol his praise, really, is the fitting end to Psalm 68. Thus ends the reading. Let's stand.